All right, good evening. Now, this here sermon started last summer as I was doing just summer preparation. I had put together lessons on what King Saul and what King David. And a few similarities started to pop out. But a few contrasts started to pop out as well. Some very different contrasts. And that is where this here what sermon started. So, personal responsibility. How many here like to take personal responsibility? Yeah, how many here like to blame others? Yeah, see, nobody's being honest here, right? Because we like to blame others sometimes, you know? Here we are driving down the road, and all of a sudden somebody cuts us off. And maybe we cut them off first and didn't know it. It's their fault, but, you know, maybe we're driving too slow. Maybe we're driving too fast. There's lots of different things. So, personal responsibility. Let's start with prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, you are honest with the men that you have written about in your word, that is, we can learn from them. And, Father, as we talk about two men tonight, may we see the contrast. May we see how they dealt with their sin. May we look at our own lives and see who we are like. Are we like Saul or are we like David? Lord, guide and direct us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's compare two kings. I already told you about one, King Saul and King David. We're going to look at these two men's lives. They start out very much the same. If we look at what King Saul, yeah, King Saul was obedient to his father before he was king. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, please. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Verses 2 and 3. Kish had a choice and a handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise, go, and we'll look for the donkeys. And so Saul leaves. Saul goes and he looks for these donkeys and he spends a lot of time looking for these donkeys. So he was obedient to his father. He left and he looked. But the same can be said of David. David, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, please. 1 Samuel 17. Oop, went too far. There we go. Verses 17 to 20, please. Then what Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 what cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. And that next morning, David gets up and he goes. No hesitation. He goes and he does what his father said. He too is obedient to his father. So far, Saul and with David are the same. They're both anointed king by what Samuel. We're not going to look there. They're both made king by the same man. Next, they're victorious over their enemies. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 11. Yeah, please, 1 Samuel chapter 11. Here we have Saul fighting with the Ammonites. Let's look at verse 6. And then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When Saul numbered them Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said to the messengers who came, thus yourselves say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help. Then the messengers came and reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore, the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do with us whatever seems good to you. And so it was on the next day that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came in to the midst of the camp in the morning watch and killed Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who had survived were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. This was Saul's first battle as king. His very first battle. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he had great victory. Great victory. Now we look at David. And he was victorious over Goliath. Now just, we all know that story. There was Goliath, 9 feet, 9 inches tall. You know, 1.5 of me. I mean, he was a big man. And there is David, he's a teenager. Who has just brought the food that his father sent him to bring to his brothers and to the commander. And he hears the battle cry. And so David goes to the front line and he sees this giant down in the valley. And he's saying, choose you a man this day who will come and fight me. And David doesn't see anyone step forward. In fact, they all step backward. And David says, I'll go fight this giant, for I've killed a lion and a bear. God's on our side. God's with us, not with them. And God gives David great victory over that giant that day. Their champion is killed and his head cut off. He's done. God gave them great victory. Saul and David start out the same. Next. They both sinned. Just like us. And this is where the contrast happens. You hear, they are completely, totally different. Let's look. What's the difference? Their response to sin. How they respond to their sin. Let's look at Saul's sin first. Please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13, please. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And just one page over, or two. Let's look at verse 5. Then the Philistines had gathered together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people, they hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Okay, picture that. Saul probably has about 3,000 men here. That's all he's got in his army. And be what Philistines have, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. So they've got 30,000 tanks and with 6,000 Hummers. And just what does Saul have? Nothing. Nothing. So you see what's happening here. Verse 8. Then he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Now that's his sin. He was not to do that. That was not his responsibility. Samuel said, "I'll come on the seventh day." Wait, this is the seventh day. But he offered it. Let's keep going. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And what Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal.' And I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." Another translation says, "I forced myself to do it." He forced himself. He offered a sacrifice that he was not to do. And he blames others. Notice, "My soldiers were leaving in all directions, and you didn't come when you were supposed to." That's not true. It's the seventh day. Samuel said, "I'll be there on the seventh day. Just wait." And as soon as he offered it, there was Samuel. Saul blames the soldiers. They were scattering from him. He blames Samuel because he didn't come soon enough. See, Saul's blaming others. But yet, he said, "I forced myself." Yes, he did. It's not others' fault. But he blames others. Next, his second sin. Let's look at 1 Samuel 15, please. Saul's disobedience here. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, ye heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Yet he is given clear directions here. Go, attack, kill, wipe out, destroy. Clear directions. Clear. Absolutely clear. But what does he do? Click. There we go. Verses 8 and 9. Yehi Saul also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. They were given clear directions. Absolutely clear. Go, attack, destroy. Simple. But Saul took Agag, the king, and kept him alive. Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of all the animals. That was disobedience. Clear disobedience. They were told with clear directions from the Lord himself through Samuel what to do, but they did not do it. And God informed Samuel. And Saul blames the people because they spared the best of what the animals. Look at verse 15 here. In what chapter 15? And what Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. He blames the people. But it clearly said Saul had a part in it. But in verse 24, he finally admits, yes, I have sinned against the Lord. But it's too late for him. It is too late. He's already lost the kingdom. He's lost the kingdom. Okay? Let's look at David's sin. Because David sinned too. Let's go to 1 Samuel 21, please. 1 Samuel 21. Whoops. And verses 1 and 2. And now David came to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid when he met David and said to him, why are you alone and no one is with you? And so David said to Ahimelech, the priest, the king has, the king has ordered me on some business and said to me, do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you or what I have commanded you. And I have directed my young men to such and such a place. This is a total lie. Okay? David is fleeing. He is lying to the priest. An outright lie to the priest. It's a sin. He's lying. What's the result of this lie? Let's look at verses 21 and 22 of chapter 22, please. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priest. And so David said to Abiathar, I knew that day when Doeg, the Edomite, was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Notice that what David said, I have caused this. I caused it. Not Doeg, not Saul, it was me. I caused this. I'm the one to blame, not somebody else. I did it. My lie caused their death. I did it. Not like Saul blaming someone else. But David says, it's me. It's me. David sins again. We all know this story, Bathsheba, in what 2 Samuel 11. David is supposed to go to war, but this year he stays back. He stays home. And one evening it is hot, so he walks the roof where it's cool at night. And from there, he sees a beautiful woman bathing. And he sends men to her. They find out her name. They bring her to the palace. And what David sins with somebody else's wife. Then David tries to cover up that sin. Three different times. The first two fail. But the third one, he has Bathsheba's husband, like Uriah, killed by the Philistines in battle. Yet he is successful. But God sends Nathan to David because God knows our sin. We may think we can hide from sin, but God knows our sin. God knows all about it. And God sends Nathan to a David with a story. There were once two men, one a rich man, one a poor man. The rich man, he has many sheep. The poor man, he has one little ewe lamb. And one day, a visitor comes to the rich man's house. And the rich man decides he's going to make dinner for this visitor. But he doesn't take any of his sheep, he takes the poor man's only lamb. And he kills it and cooks it and they eat it. And David becomes furious. Furious! And David says, that man is going to have to repay four times for what he's done. And then what Nathan tells him, four words, well, five. David, you are the man. You are the man. You're the rich man who stole from the poor man. You're the man. He's been caught in a sin. What is his response? And what David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He took personal responsibility for his sin. It's Bathsheba's fault. She was naked on the roof. It's not me. No, I have sinned. I'm the one. I have sinned against the Lord. It's me. It's not somebody else. It's me. Which king took personal responsibility for his sin? It's obvious David did. King David said, I have done it. I'm the one. It's not somebody else. It's right here. It's me. When you sin, what do? Do you blame others or take personal responsibility? Let's look at the end result. For Saul, turn to 1 Samuel 15, please. 1 Samuel 15:11. I think we're close there. Okay. Look at verse 10. We'll start there. Now the word of the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Another translation says this: Saul has stopped obeying me, and I'm sorry that I made him king. Saul made God sorry. We can make God sorry with our sin. We can make God sorry. See, this was too late for Saul. It was too late. He had made God sorry by blaming others for his sin. David, please turn to Acts 13:22, please. Acts 13:22. Acts 13:22. And just when he had removed him, that was Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. David was known as a man who was after God's own heart, who would do all God's will. Look at the contrast. Saul, I'm sorry that I made him king. David, a man after my own heart who shall do all my will. Which one are you like? Which end result will you experience? Will you make God sorry? Or will you be a person after God's own heart who will do all God's will? It's up to you. Do you blame others, or do you take personal responsibility? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And as we soon have our communion service, Father, help us to look into our own hearts, to examine them, to take personal responsibility and confess our sin. Father, help us to be like David, a man after your own heart, who will do all thy will. In Jesus' name, amen.